What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. And as always, thank you for the support, thank you for listening, thank you for following, thank you for downloading. And if you enjoy it, please refer it to a friend. They can download for free at odyssey.com or Google Play or Amazon or Apple or wherever they get their podcast, Spotify as well. Okay, so this is my first episode since I got back from the National. I just want to let everyone know how my experience was. You know, I'm not sure everyone, of course, everyone has a different experience, some good, some bad, some in between. But my experience with the National was awesome. And it is. Part of that is because it's a guy's trip. You know, me, my brother, my two really good friends, we always rent an Airbnb. We get in the car. We road trip it to wherever it is. Last year was Cleveland. This year, Chicago. Next couple years going to be Chicago. And then 2028 is going to be in Detroit. Big news there, if you don't know already, but I'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, I love this trip. I love this experience. This is the biggest card show in America for sure. I'm not sure about the world. I know there's big ones over in Asia. I've never been, experienced it, but I got to imagine this is the biggest one in the world, I think. Because people from all over the world come to this one. This is where we all get together and get to meet up. If you have social media friends, Facebook friends that are collectors, this is where you get to see grail cards you didn't know existed, cards that you knew existed but never got to see in person. And it's only getting bigger and bigger, and it's amazing. This year was the biggest one ever. I think the early returns are, it was definitely outdrew the last one, and it's outdrawn, I think, every other one. So it just keeps growing. The hobby keeps growing. The lines were massive. The venue, it can hold it for sure, but they only use a portion of it. And this year they actually opened up an upstairs portion, and I'll get to that a little bit later too. But I'm just going to kind of go through about my experience, my time there. I only went Wednesday and Thursday. That's normally what we do. It's getting so big now, though, that I think when I talk to my friends about it and our group, that we might actually do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday moving forward now, because in not even 2 days, because Wednesday is only a four-hour show. It's basically a day and a half. To fit it all in a day and a half is really tough to do. So we might be extending our stay moving forward. But that's how much we enjoy it, you know? And that's how much fun we have. I mean, not just at the card show, but at the house, like I mentioned. We rent an Airbnb, and, you know, we get to eat and drink and tell jokes. And this year there was a table tennis, not tournament, but there was a table tennis table in the basement, and we got to play a little ping pong, have fun with that. So all that stuff, all that plays into effect of how much I enjoy, you know, just making this trip in general. So, like I said, I'm going to recap everything I went to. Wednesday was the day we decided to go that we normally do. Get up early and make the five-hour drive to Chicago. And if anyone's ever driven to Chicago, you know, once you get to the city, I mean, traffic is terrible. There's semi-trucks. There's tolls. There's just regular traffic for Chicago. So we actually took a different route where we went around the city, basically. And we planned it so where we got to the Airbnb at about, I think, 2:45 local time. So you gain an hour when you go to, you know, to Chicago, because it's Central Eastern to Central time, but you lose it on the way back. But that's okay. I like to gain it there because I'm trying to see as much as possible. I'm an animal. I'm the type of guy who can be at a card show all day. I enjoy going to card shows here all the time. If you shows here locally, you might have seen me. You most likely have seen me, because I like to look at cards. I just enjoy it a lot. And so this being the National, I'm trying to see all the cards, as insane and crazy as that sounds, but that's what I'm trying to do. So we get there at about 2:45 to the house. The show starts at 4:00 for general admission, and it's from 4 to 8. If you have VIP, you get early access from 3 to 8. But the first day we just had general admission. So all four of us, we get to the house, kind of, you know, go to our rooms, back a little bit, get ready, you know, get refreshed, whatever we got to do, because then we got to head to the show. And you want to go a little early because you know it's going to be massive. There's going to be lines, there's going to be waits, It's just gonna be a big crowd. So we end up leaving the house, I think around 3:15 or so. A little bit later than I wanted to. I kind of want to leave 3, but took a minute to, you know, unload everything. We leave the house, drive to the show, and it's at the Donald Stevenson Convention Center, which is in Rosemont, Illinois, right by the airport. They always have it there. They do a great job. They know what they're doing. They're used to this. So we get there, and traffic is, you know, gets a little sketchy once you get closer to the convention center, but no big deal. Now, here's where it kind of starts getting really crazy. We have to park the car. So I make it as simple as possible for me. I just go right to the garage. Now, yes, a lot of people are going to go to the garage, and it's going to be packed, but like I said, they know what they're doing. Basically, you just don't, you're not looking for a spot. Just keep going up the levels until it opens up and there's people, you know, directing you to open spots. So I think we end up parking on like floor 3 or something like that, which is fine. The car, start walking out, and there's a skywalk that goes from the garage. The parking garage is basically across the street from the convention center. And I see people lined up and they're not moving. And I later come to find out that was like VIP that had funneled into that skywalk, and apparently that was a bad idea because they just were stuck and they weren't moving. Me and my friends, we went right back down to the first floor of the parking garage, walked across the street, and pretty much were able to walk right into the show. I looked at my phone, and it was 4:15, walked onto the main floor. 4:15 for a show that started at 4 o'clock for general admission, which is what we were. So much better than what it was in Cleveland. I remember it was an hour and a half before you even got into the show floor. It was past 5 o'clock. It was terrible. They didn't know what they were doing. This was much better. So we get in, and our plan is usually we stick together, and then within 5 minutes, we're not going to break apart. And so we end up all going our separate ways eventually. Like I said, I am an animal. I'm trying to zigzag and snake my way through this show and see every single table. Now, can I do that in 4 hours with this type of show? No, it's 600,000 square feet. Like I said, there's an upstairs as well. I didn't even go upstairs. We didn't go upstairs. We went just to the main floor. We figured we'll hit the upstairs tomorrow if we have time today, which we knew we weren't, and we didn't. So we pushed that till later. So this is just the main floor, and there's like a whole huge side floor, and it's crazy. So trying to find where to start and end is difficult. I walk in, I turn right, and I'm just trying to do the best I can to snake up and down each row. I finally figured out the booth thing. I think I mentioned in my previous podcast, you know, if someone tells you the booth number, it's just hard to find. And it usually is. But the problem is the booth banners are hanging from above in the ceiling. So they go from like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. I know someone's booth number. And they're supposed to have the signs of their booth number at their booth. But most of them, they're covered, they're taken down, whatever. You literally have to ask the vendor, hey, what's your booth number, to kind of know where you're at, exactly where you're at. But you can find out, like, if you're in the 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 section. But other than that, I mean, to get specific, you're going to, you know, deal with, hey, what's your number? So once I figured that out, it was a little bit easier to navigate. Now, my first day there, though, I just like to see as many cards as possible. And you know me, I'm looking for Jordan cards, and I'm looking for 90s inserts, like rare, you know, serial number, just hard to find 90s basketball and football inserts. That's mostly what I like to collect. I'll look at the other stuff, but it makes it easier for me to kind of do stuff I'm not trying to buy, like maybe vintage or ultra modern stuff, or if it's like, there wasn't really any Pokemon there to be, you know, there's some dealers had it, but, and I wasn't looking at sealed wax. I wasn't looking at, you know, bobbleheads or baseball mitts or memorabilia. I was just looking for specifically Michael Jordan cards and 90s inserts. So that helps me kind of get through the first day a little bit because it's only 4 hours. So I get through, I think it's about 2 hours in, and I see a Jordan card I like. Now, I want to tell this story because I was rattled, and I wondered, you know, you really shouldn't let it affect you. It affected me, but I wonder how you would have dealt with it. I find a Jordan card I like, and it's kind of an expensive card, not going to lie here. It's a $1,700 card, which was actually fairly priced because I mentioned in my previous podcast previewing the National that, you know, a lot of times if you're looking for deals, this is not necessarily the place to go. The National vendors know where they're at. They have 5 days, more than 5 days really, to sell these cards. There's going to be so much traffic, so many people coming in that they think they can probably get close to what they want. So they overprice a lot of stuff, even though they know where the comps are. And I was seeing that as I was walking through the show. Some things were just too pricey where I didn't even think I could negotiate. And like I said, I was crunched on time, so I did want to see as much as possible just in case that rare card came up for. Now, this card wasn't that super rare card, but it was a card that I had wanted, and it was relatively fairly priced, $100. So, as anyone normally does, you negotiate. I looked at the card, and I gave an offer. My offer was $1,500. The person I was dealing with was not the owner. I think it was his daughter, and then his son was there as well. They both said, hold on, and they went to their father, I assume, and he was a dealer, vendor, and they told him the number, and I could see it because he's only a few feet away from me. He was at the end of the table, and he kind of shook his head. She comes back and says, no, I guess you're too far off. Well, my response was, did he have a counter offer, you know, because that's exactly what I'm expecting, maybe $1,600 right in the middle, or maybe your firm at $1,700, that's fine. No offer whatsoever. I looked over to him. I said, are you firm at 17? He doesn't even come towards me, stays where he's at, doesn't answer it, goes, grabs the card again, looks at it, then starts looking up comps, which I don't know why, because I'm assuming every single deal in there just comped their cards for the National. It's the National, so they've probably been spending weeks comping cards. And he looks at it, and it comps right around that $1,700. And he says, no, I think I'm just not going to sell it. And I, at that moment, almost said, I'll buy it for $1,700, but I didn't. I was completely rattled. I couldn't believe he took it off the table and didn't even give me an opportunity to buy it anymore. You're going to deal with these type of dealers sometimes. They're just curmudgeon. Maybe he was having a bad day. Even the daughter mentioned to me, I think he's having a bad day. I don't know how he's having a bad day. I just started, but you know, he's probably been there since Monday or Tuesday, I assume. But maybe something happened. I don't know. I get it. But sometimes you're going to run into these type of dealers where maybe he felt I lowballed him too much and didn't even, though I'm sure this is, I've been to, you know, a ton of car shows, and this is, you know, a regular negotiation. I was polite. I never asked for anything else. I mean, there was literally just gave him an offer. He didn't counter. I asked him if he was firm. Then he took the card off the table. That was it. So I was kind of in shock. I just kind of look at the rest of his showcase, which all his other cards were insanely overpriced, and I just moved on. But I couldn't stop thinking about this altercation, I guess if you want to call it, or you know, this interaction with that table. So I'm walking around the rest of the show by myself trying to look at cards, but I'm just, like I said, I'm rattled. So I haven't bought a card. We're 3 hours in now. I'm still looking at other cards. I'm also supposed to meet somebody up that I'm supposed to drop a card off with that I sold, you know, we had made a prior pre-arranged deal online. And so I have that going on in my mind. I'm like, I got to find this other table. I'm slow looking for cards. I haven't bought a card yet. That guy just took his card off the table for me. I didn't know what to do. So I kind of gather myself, and an hour left here. I got to go find the guy I made a deal with. So I had a card for him. And I actually read something earlier today that said the National isn't even about deals anymore or making deals. It's about closing deals because all deals are made beforehand. And of course, that's not necessarily true, but this one was a deal that was made beforehand. So, but I think deals can still be made during the show and after the show. And I have one of those examples as well. But get back to this. I gathered myself. I went over. I found what I was looking for because I figured out the booth thing finally. We made the deal. He was very great. It was a great meeting him. I'd never met a person. And that's what I talk about when I say you finally get to meet these, you know, people that you've been dealing with cards all over these years, and you finally get to put a face to a name or a screen name or whatever. And you know, it was great. He got the card he wanted. I got the price that I was looking for, and you know, he was having a good show. Once I got over getting rattled, I was like, you know, I know I'm gonna have a good show, a good weekend, because it's just fun. So I make the deal there. Start walking around a little bit more. 30 minutes left in the show. My brother calls me, or actually call my brother. I'm saying, hey, where are you at? They tell me. I let him know. Come meet me. And he said, hey, by the way, have you bought any cards? I go, no, I haven't bought any cards. I go, no, not one card. In fact, it's because I think I almost bought one card, but I got completely rattled by the whole situation that went down. And he said, all right, well, I'll meet you up and I'll tell you. You know, let me know what happened. So he comes over, and right as I hang up the phone with him, I actually see a card that I liked, you know, a cheaper slab, a Jordan PSA 9. End up, it was already a good deal. It was fairly priced. Another, you know, these are hard to find, by the way, but it was another fairly priced Jordan. So this time I learned my lesson. I'm like, listen, if I'm going to go negotiate this, I am not going very low at all. I'll maybe see if he can knock bucks. And I asked, he looked at me and said, sure, no problem. Like a normal view, you know, vendor would or dealer would. And he gave it to me for the $10 off sticker price, which I asked for. Easy peasy. So my brother shows up and I say, hey, by the way, I did just buy my first card. And so look at this card, checked out, thought it was cool. But then I told the dealer. He couldn't believe it either. So I asked him, could you actually go over to that dealer, because I knew exactly where it was, and could you see if that card is out on the table, or did he leave it, behind and say he wasn't going to sell it? Sure. So my brother goes over there and he looks and he takes a picture of the showcase with the dealer's permission. It was fine. And he comes back to me and he's like, do you see the card in here? Because he couldn't find it. I found.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Found it. He had the card marked for $3,000, which was once a $1,700 card when I looked at it. He decided to mark it up to $3,000, which is way overpriced. And like I said, the only thing at this point was I just wish I would have just bought the card because I really liked the card. And then secondly, I can't believe he went over the top like that. But sometimes that's going to happen. And then that's what happens when you're dealing with some of these vendors. But the rest of the vendors I dealt with the entire, the 2 days I was there were totally fine. Everyone was great. I just mentioned this. Gave me $10 off the sticker. I asked for it. He said, sure, no problem. It was easy, like I said. Talked for a little bit. Enjoy the show. All that stuff. So that was my first day there. That was my first experience there. Other than that hiccup with that vendor, it was great. Me and my buddies, we all met up in the front of the building after. We go back to the house. We unwind. We talk about our day. And rest, because we're pretty tired from the drive and just, being at the show, walking the show, all that stuff. And of course, I didn't get through the whole show. I know kind of the layout of the land. So the next day, I'm going to come more prepared to know where certain booths are. Also, we wanted to go upstairs and check out all the vendors up there that we didn't get to go. So next morning, wake up, grab breakfast, we don't go in right away when they open up, just let the crowd kind of die down a little bit maybe, because we know people are going to be lining up. And one of my buddies isn't going to the second day of the show. He actually is a big poker player, so he wanted to go around to the casino, play some poker that day. Well, the three of us went to the show. He drops us off at the show. Today, we have VIP, though, and thank goodness we had VIP, because the line was wrapped around the building, out onto the main road, like as far as the eye can see. And I'm sure if you go on social media and follow the National at all, many people were grabbing their phones and videotaping what they had seen this line wrapped around. It was crazy how far the line was. And that was for general admission. But if you had VIP, you're able to get in through a separate door real quick. So that was worth it. So we get inside and we go right upstairs because none of us had gone upstairs the day before. And we want to check out how the setup was. There were so many dealers and vendors, they open up space upstairs this year. So we went upstairs, take the escalator upstairs. And yeah, there's a decent amount of dealers up there. The problem was they have all this room, but they stuck them all on the side and they kind of squished them and squeezed them together, which made the aisles ridiculously narrow. And so getting through the aisles and trying to look at cards back and forth at the showcases, it was terrible. I honestly couldn't take it. Sometimes gaps would open up, but for the most part, it was too crowded. I didn't want to be up there. I knew that, maybe 30 minutes is what I could last up here. I didn't want to even look at cards, let alone buy any cards. The only thing that positive that came out of being so crowded was at one point I looked to my left and I bumped into somebody, a big guy, very big human being, looked up. It was NBA basketball player Grant Williams. If you don't know who Grant Williams is, he's a sports card collector, also does Pokemon. He was at the show. I don't know if many people knew who he was. He wasn't as big as I thought he was, but he was definitely a big guy. And I said, hey, Grant Williams, big fan, just like, anybody else would say. And he said, hey, how you doing? Thanks, And I told him, hey, my brother's a big fan too. He said, what's up to us? Dabbed us up. We just took a selfie real quick. And so that was kind of cool. And then he went on to, it looks like he was doing a decent deal. He had his little Zion case with him, and he was making a deal with the dealer right after that. So that was the only thing that was cool for me upstairs. Otherwise, it was just too packed. They need to at least spread it out for those dealers. I felt bad for the dealers. I felt bad for the people walking the show. It was just way too crowded up there, and that was my only experience upstairs. But there were some really cool cards up there. I just felt I felt squeezed in. I felt claustrophobic. I couldn't really look at them long or make a deal or converse with anybody. So for me, it wasn't a good experience upstairs. Maybe other people had a better experience, but I didn't like it. And hopefully if they do that again, they give those dealers some more space and some more room. So I went downstairs. I knew exactly where to go now because I know all the stuff that I missed, and I know the good dealers that I saw that the day before. So I went straight to the 3,000 section, which seemed to be where the more Jordan stuff was. So went out there. I, you know, attacked the areas that I wasn't able to see the day before. You know, still nothing really catching my eye. Prices were a little bit more high than for my taste, at least, and for stuff that, you know, that you feel like you see enough of. But saw some monster cards, of course. Some of these showcases, they've been saving all year long to bring to the National. And some of it just looks like just they're showing off. It's just PC. I don't even know if it is for sale, but there's autos you'd never seen. There's numbered cards, you know, numbered to 5, 1 of 1s, you know, golds, numbered to 10s. Like I said, autos, just crazy great stuff. PMGs, rubies. If you collect 90s inserts, you know what I'm talking about. So it's fun just to see that stuff too. I ended up picking up a small card from a dealer on my way out that day, but it took a while. And I probably got there, I want to say around 11:30. The show closed at 6. Before you knew it, it was like almost 5 o'clock, and we wanted to get out of there before closing time. It's like the bar. You don't want to close that thing out because then it's just a mass exodus, and everyone's looking for an Uber, trying to get their ride, trying to get to the parking lot. You don't want to be there when the doors close. So around 5 o'clock, we wanted to get going and give my buddy a text to come get us. But before that, we were able to take our time after we went through the show. You know, that way, once I went through the whole show, which I thought I did, I thought I went through the whole show, but I still feel like I missed stuff. There was a lot of corporate area stuff that I went to, and we saw Upper Deck. Walmart had a spot. That was kind of weird. You know, Beckett, SGC. There's a whole breaking area. I stayed away from the breaking area, but that I'm glad they put it onto the side so you can go over there if you want to. It's not for me, but yeah, there's a lot of that stuff I was able to kind of just slowly walk through and see. I know Tom Brady was there because he had opened up his new card shop in Chicago. He was walking the floor. I heard them announce basically something over the PA. I didn't personally see him, but I know he was walking the floor there that day as well. But yeah, it was just a fun, crazy, just massive event. And if you're not overwhelmed by it, since I've been to a few of these now, you can really start to enjoy it. I didn't get to do any, you know, value box, bargain box, or anything like that. I just mainly stayed to the stuff to try to see everything. But that's why I kind of want to do another day next year and moving forward. That way I can start digging a little bit, taking my time at certain vendors instead of just, you know, trying to see everything. Because when you try to see everything, you still feel like you missed a lot. And I definitely walked the entire floor, but I missed some people that I wanted to go see that were working, that were vending. But with the extra day, I think that's going to help that out a lot. I ended up, so we ended up leaving and having a night, you know, playing some table tennis and all that stuff. And as I'm going through playing some table tennis, and the next morning, wake up, check Instagram. Now, this is where I talked about earlier where deals aren't always just completed, you know, before the show. Sometimes they're completed after the show. I check my Instagram. Someone is at the National card that I was looking for all week or the last 2 days at least that I did not see in the floor. And I don't know this person, but I know they're at the National. I was not going to the National that day. We were leaving, unfortunately. I still messaged him, asked him if the card was available, asked him a price. He said yes, gave me the price. We negotiated back and forth. We came to an agreement. I was extremely happy. This rare card that I did not see on the floor when I was there had popped up on Instagram. Now the only problem was, how do I get the card? Luckily for me, I know a couple guys and, you know, vendors and dealers at the show that could possibly pick it up for me. This one, Jason Luton, owns Luton's over in Clawson, downtown Clawson. Great shop, one of my favorite shops here locally. Give him a text. Hey, Jason, I purchased this card. Can the guy drop it off to you and you bring it back to Michigan for me? Yeah, without hesitation, Jason said, I got you. So long story short, the guy had dropped off the card. I gave him the booth number and he was able to find it. And yeah, dropped off the card to Jason and Jason held that card for me and I picked it up this week. It looks great in hand. And that's a deal that was made after my national experience. And those deals can be made throughout the entire week, by the way. I heard a lot of deals were made during trade night, which I still got to hit one of those up, but they just seem insane. There's a unofficial trade night at the Hyatt, I guess, the hotel that everyone stays at, that it looked like that thing was going on beyond midnight. People would just grab a seat, lay their cards out on the floor, on a table, wherever, on some counter, and just people would be going around making deals all night. And that's an unofficial trade night. There's the official trade nights where everyone makes a bunch of deals. And I heard like from a lot of people that's where they made their best pickups was trade nights. A lot of times when you do collector to collector, you're just going to get a better value than you would to a dealer or a vendor. And a lot of those, you never know what's in those Zion cases people are walking around with. The ones with the luggage rollers and just the massive amount of cards they have and grails and just great, you know, things that you never see just in those suitcases. It's crazy. Sometimes it's better than what the dealers have in the showcase. I will say this, though, one observation. I always have this observation at a lot of card shows, but mainly the national because it's so crowded. Is I don't understand the girlfriends and wives that come that aren't into collecting. I actually feel bad for them. I wouldn't want my wife to come with me because you'd be bored out of her mind. But then you're also by the showcase, and I don't want to lean over you, but if you're not even looking at the cards and you're just looking at your phone or playing Candy Crush or texting somebody, you're kind of taking up room here, you know? And there's so many people that want to look at the showcase and cards, and then there's people that bring their kids and wagons that they just give them an iPad or give them, you know, candy or whatever. I mean, I couldn't imagine being in there for 4 or 5 hours and not caring about what's going on. And like I said, if you're in a wagon or you're taking up space, because these, although there was a decent amount of aisle space, it does get crowded by the showcases though. And then a lot of times people would just stand in the way. And so that's one observation that I don't know if there's anything you could do about it. I guess it's just me venting about it, but I wouldn't want to bring my kids or my wife there because I don't think they'd enjoy it. And I don't understand how people do it, but maybe that's the only way they can get to the show is if they bring their family. So that's kind of my recap on what I experienced there. I cannot wait. Oh, by 2028. Yeah, I do want to mention that. So the next 2 years are going to be in Chicago. 2026 is Chicago. 2027 in Chicago. During this show, the dealers and vendors had a vote on where the 2028 show would be, and it was between Atlanta and Detroit, and they ended up picking Detroit. It's going to be at the Huntington Place in downtown Detroit, which is great. This is that 2028 is a one where I might go all 5 days. Who knows? Because we don't have to rent the place out. I obviously know the area very well, or maybe I'll still rent the place out and just stay downtown Detroit and go. So that should be great, though. I feel great for the local collectors around here that never been to a national. They're going to get to go to a national. It's who knows what the hobby is going to be like by then. But if it's going to continue the growth that it has, it's going to be even bigger and better. And I know Huntington Place, they're also renovating. They'll be able to handle it. They're going to have a connecting skywalk to hotels. And I think Detroit's going to be just fine. And all the bad publicity that people think about Detroit, I think it will change a lot of people's minds when they actually come to Detroit and experience it. So that was my recap on the national. Great time. Can't wait to go back next year. Already looking at, I know the dates are already out, so you can Google that or go to the website. And if you ever get a chance, you definitely should try to go. It's just a cool experience overall. And whether you buy cards or don't buy cards, just to see the madness that it is to experience it, it's a different animal for sure. All right, guys, as always, thanks for listening. And if you miss any episodes that you want to go back and listen to, like I mentioned, I did a preview of the National. You can go back and listen to any of the episodes that you missed right here on the Kane Collects podcast. As always, keep collecting, and if you collect what you love, you can't go wrong. Thanks for listening.
Right now, the song you can't get out of your head, that breaking story, or that conversation you just have to be a part of.
That's the brand new song from
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots, he scores.
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.